Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic.
It's a little slow on I-235 southbound to K-96 east. And watch for construction on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street. There's a slight backup there. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey, Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. It's a mostly cloudy start to the day. We may even see a sprinkle, especially north of Wichita. Then partly cloudy this afternoon. North winds 10 to 15 and a high of 63. Partly cloudy and chilly overnight. 43 should do it for the low. Back over to a mix of sun and clouds Wednesday. High 66. Mostly cloudy and 65 on Thursday with a chance of rain. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
The Drake Toll Show. Cade Cunningham is one of the most important pieces to any team in the postseason. And if you are dialed into the NBA postseason and you are not dialed into Cade Cunningham, what do you watch? Cade Cunningham might be the star of the NBA postseason.
Drake Toll, mornings at 5, right before Sports Daily at 7 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Better than a halftime show. And we don't even have backup dancers.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for a healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bedweed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you here on the air, taking your comments, commentary. You can call in 869-1240, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can leave us your video comments as we make our way through a pretty big story yesterday. We're just getting maybe some clarity on a pretty big story that's been around for a little while. So Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, yesterday saying and basically moving forward with this eligibility stuff, Paul. He's confident, he says, that the rules that have been thrown out there the last few weeks, I guess it's been about 5 years, that is probably going to happen. They're optimistic. The NCAA put a statement out about it, saying the time is now to reform the period of eligibility rules to provide Division I student athletes in our schools clear and consistent standards that align with current college athletes' experiences. The main thing in the short term that got answered to yesterday, the new rule proposal is basically this: 5 years from the time you are, I guess, turn 19 or graduate high school, whichever comes first, you've got 5 years of eligibility. 5 years. 5 years to play. You know, that's it. So that is an extra year, but it also, what I think the goal is here is you eliminate the 26, 27-year-old, 7, 8-year starter with all these different ways that, you know, the system has been changed, and we had the COVID year, we had all of that. It's 5 years, you get five, you're done in five. So, okay, A, you get an extra year. Are you okay with it being five and not four? I think that's one question we got to answer. And then the big questions for me come, Paul, in, well, are we still going to have waivers on this thing? Because there are reasons I don't like that. Now, the injury part, I don't know if they're getting waivers anymore for injuries, right? You blow out your knee twice. Sorry. You know, that doesn't do anything. the one that gets me, you know, you've got your service academy exemptions that you'll have to really, really consider. You've got religious exemptions that you'll have to really consider. And then for me, you've got hardships that you've got to consider. Kid has to go home because something horrible's happened in his life, some hardship that he must go take care of his family or something. You know, those are all factors to consider. And I'll need to see that those kinds of waivers could still be granted. I don't think the medical red shirt thing is going to be a thing much anymore, Paul. I will say this because I don't love this. I think this is making a change to something that doesn't need to be changed. I think there are some instances of, you know, the system of eligibility being taken advantage of, but not enough for a holistic change. But we'll see if they, you know, if they put in the correct guardrails, okay. Like I could maybe get on board with it, but I don't want to see a kid who's never played because of some unforeseen circumstance not have the chance to play because they're now 24 years old or whatever it might be.
Right.
But we'll get there and see those details. The big piece of news and information that came yesterday is that the outgoing seniors would not be included in this.
Now, that is true.
You have to imagine, you know, the players that are incoming to play their fourth years next year are going to have a huge financial advantage over the players that just finished. Mm-hmm. Like you can define it however you want. So an incoming senior next year gets another year of eligibility in this,
right,
in theory, whereas the outgoing right now do not.
Right.
That's a huge financial kick in the pants, to be perfectly honest with you.
Right.
You know, guys like Kenyon Giles and Caron Boyd, Shocker fans, become the poster children for this. Like, wait, this rule's changing? Could we come back? And there had been some question of, like, could these guys come back? Real question. Like, that was really a thing. It appears now that they won't be able to.
Gotcha.
And so answers that question. And it kind of sucks for those guys. But at some point, Paul, like, if you're going to make a change like this, you do have to rip the Band-Aid off. It has to start somewhere, doesn't it?
Like,
because if you allowed it for the seniors that are going out this year, then the seniors that went out last year will be like, whoa, what about us? You know, hey, hang on a minute here.
Right.
Get that. So you have to kind of just draw your line somewhere, and it appears that's where they'll draw it. That's the bigger part of the news that's been coming out in the last 24 hours. But they did put out a statement, Paul, and the you know, NCAA president thinks this is going to happen.
I like it. I really do like it. I like the five-year deal. You know why I like the five-year deal? We're going to see more and more kids graduate. And I think that's exciting. I think if that fifth year brings along a bunch of kids, by the time they finish up their fifth year of eligibility in whatever sport it is, they'll probably graduate. I mean, just to stay eligible, you're going to be knocking on the door of graduation. And I think we're going to see graduation rates explode. And I wouldn't be surprised that at certain schools, you're starting to run 90, 95% of all athletes who have 5 years of eligibility graduate. And after all, Jacob, isn't that kind of what we're talking about? Isn't that kind of why they're there? Of course, we know the answer is no. That's not why they're there, Savage. Are you an idiot? Well, yeah, sometimes I can be. But the point is that 5 years, and I would have to think that there's going to be a good number of these kids who go, well, geez, if I'm going to be there for 5 years, why not get a diploma? I'm there.
Yeah,
why not do it? And that's what I like about it, because we all know there are kids, and there's a lot of kids. 4 years.
Now this says, you know, so two big parts of this, and I should have said this right out of the gates. 4 seasons of competition in 5 years of eligibility. So I don't know. This is all still just a little bit confusing. Okay, so I don't know if we're giving like a super senior season here, or if we're just saying you get one, like, medical red shirt, for instance, or just red shirt season still, and you can only play 4 of the seasons in 5 years. This is where this all gets really confusing and I think difficult. And look, there are going to be challenges that come out. But if I tell you that the NCAA board is saying there are, here's what they said. There are two key elements to be included. One is kind of what you're talking about, that they will include degree completion even after eligibility expires if they hadn't earned a degree yet. You know what, we've seen that before. Players will go back and finish their degrees. Mm-hmm. They get 10 years to do that, I think, with scholarship rules in Division One. And then the other one is it just says maintain existing rules, allowing 4 seasons of competition in 5 years of eligibility for student athletes competing in this year. New rules not expected to retroactively apply to student athletes whose eligibility is or will be completed by the spring of 2026. Those are the seniors we're talking about. But then in the beginning, here's what they say. Under the new model, let me just read you the opening statement because it is confusing as you read it. As after a robust discussion, the Division I Board of Directors on Monday directed the Division I Cabinet to advance an age-based eligibility concept that, if adopted in its current form, would permit student athletes up to 5 years of eligibility beginning the regular academic year after they turn 19 or graduate from high school, whichever happens earlier. Under that model, Division I student athletes would no longer be limited to only 4 seasons of competition within their 5-year eligibility window.
Mm.
Okay, so you've got kind of this 2-pronged thing happening. So they're telling you there, you don't just have 4 in the 5, you have 5 in the 5, but then later they're saying it, you only get 4 in the 5 for the players that are leaving. It's all very confusing.
That's for the players
but
leaving.
What they're trying to do, Paul, is cut down on players that end up with an 8th year of eligibility. And
right.
You've got 26-year-old professionals playing college quarterback and all of these things. And I just, as long as you can get me the waiver process for kids that have real legitimate, I don't think injury is going to be this either. But I'm talking about a kid whose parents die and they got to go take care of their brothers and sisters.
Well, they can get these.
Those kinds of things happen.
Yeah, those things
happen.
And you
have to have a way that they're not punished for that. The religious exemption is going to have to be a part of this. And then you've got service academy stuff that you've got to consider as well. So, I hope that they do. But I will say this, because I do think this is maybe attacking the problem in the wrong way. But okay, I'm willing to give it a shot. I will say this. It helps point us in the right direction on the transfer portal, I think.
Right.
Because now, if they can combine this with, let's call it one free transfer, Paul, right? You get one free transfer. The second time you transfer, you have to sit out a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're not telling them they can't transfer.
Right.
You're telling them that second transfer loses a year of your eligibility. Now, you're looking at that from a cost perspective if you're a potential athlete going in to a portal and saying, boy, let's say you jumped from South Dakota State to Wichita State, okay, after your freshman or sophomore year. So you jump from South Dakota State to Wichita State and you come in, you have a great year for Wichita State. That's been a ripe scenario for somebody to then jump to Duke.
It has.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
Let's say that is the scenario. Okay. And you go into it. And now you have this 5-year of eligibility thing. Okay. So you've got 5 years to earn money, basically. You know it's going to be higher at Duke, but now you got to sit out a year and you lose one of those years of eligibility. You won't make anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that worth it at that point?
Right.
To transfer?
Right.
Or is it worth it to stick around?
Yeah.
That's where I think this could crack the door open to maybe some portal happenings. Because right now, here's my other problem with it, Paul. It doesn't solve the biggest issue. The biggest issue is the transfer portal. That is the biggest issue. It's not even that a player might have picked up a 7th year of eligibility. That holistically, that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem right now that people can't stand is the transfer portal. And if you give them 5 years of eligibility, but they can still jump around and transfer as much as they want, Nothing's been solved.
Right. And I think that
now we just put on a bunch of unnecessary rules and nothing really changed. So if you can't use this to help fix the portal, we didn't accomplish anything.
Here. Right, right. Now I'm going to be truthful. I thought we're talking about 5 years of eligibility. Everything I've read starts out.
Except for the players going out.
Maybe so, but all I know is that article after article says 5th year of eligibility. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm not that smart, but I took that.
I think you're right. Under the, you know, it says in the opening paragraph,
all the stories say that
Division I student athletes would no longer be limited to only 4 seasons of competition within their 5 year
correct
eligibility window.
That's what I've been hanging my hat on. Yes,
but it also is trying to clarify that except for the outgoing players who have already played 4 years.
Well, if that's the case, they're doing a horrible job of clarifying. I can tell you that because I am confused.
This is going to get challenged.
But I think overall, just that 5th year. And by the way, we all know this COVID thing, you know, for extra years has been used and abused and taken advantage of in ways we never dreamed. Now, I can certainly see certain situations, Jacob, and you point out a few of them, such as a problem with the family. You know, maybe you know, mom or dad has a health problem, and you know they need to go home. And by golly, I think there needs to be these exceptions, and we'll know if these exceptions are abused. I can't imagine abusing a situation at a university in order to take advantage of mom or dad dying or something like that. I mean, I guess it could happen, but I would imagine it wouldn't. So there are some of those exceptions, the religious exception. There are schools, particularly Catholics, particularly Baptists, particularly Mormons. There are schools that specialize in you know, people who go abroad, missionary work, basically.
Seminarians.
And so I think that has to be a real exemption, too, because even in my time at Baylor, I knew missionaries. There were people that would be there that 2 or 3 years older than a lot, still in the dorm, and yet they'd been on a year or two of missionary work, and there they are at Baylor University. So I know the Baptists are active. I know the Mormons. We all know about Mormons because that's almost a standard requirement that those kids go do a service for their religion and for the betterment of mankind, and we all get that. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that is legitimate. I'm not going to, and I know you probably wouldn't either. But with that being said, everything else I like. 5 to play 5. You want to play 5, play 5. When do you start? Start now. Sorry, son. You're a year ahead of your time. You should have waited a year
that's going to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry about your luck.
Sorry you were born just a little bit too early. That's just
One other part of this real quick, Paul, is there are also some things about transferring and tampering enforcement in here.
Mm-hmm.
Not I think what we want, but they're looking to, I think, intensify, although proof will be needed, intensify the punishment for tampering. So it basically is changing it. Schools suspected of tampering prior to their entry into the transfer portal would need to demonstrate that the violation did not occur to avoid penalties.
Oh, so you got to prove yourself innocent instead of guilty, huh?
Correct. And that was at the request of, I believe, the Big Ten Conference.
Wow.
So that's interesting.
Well, that's a little crazy, isn't it? I mean, because you can accuse anybody of anything.
If it helps avoid the tampering, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, they're trying here. They're trying.
That's a little weak.
And then there's something that I don't really understand either about the rules for the notification to transfer process, which would allow schools to decline to enter a student athlete into the portal only if the athlete agreed to release the school from that requirement as a part of a valid settlement-related benefits agreement with the school for the period of the agreement. So I think this gets into, and we've all had this question. Kid comes in, signs NIL deal, transfers right away, does all this. What's the school on the hook for in what they agreed to? How are those payments divvied out? Is it a lump sum? Is it over a period of time? We've always said, put them under a contract. They break the violation of the contract, they don't get paid their entire contract, just like the rest of us.
The fact
we always thought that was the right way to go.
You signed a scholarship agreement. You know what that is? You know what that is, Jacob? You know what that is? That's a contract. That's a contract.
Yes, well, it is, but there are other parts of a contract that matter. But so there's also some, it looks like, relief for schools, I think, in that regard, too. This is all interesting. And and Rick points out none of it will work because they're going to get sued. I agree. This is going to come from lawsuits. Now, they can set this framework in, and then lawmakers are going to have to step in and change the laws, because Rick is correct. There will be legal challenges to this. But the NCAA does make rules that you must abide by. I mean, they're an enforcement body of NCAA competitions, so they can set the rules for their own competitions. We'll come back. We got more. It's Sports Day.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.